So first of all, I'm sorry, but my German is really bad, so I will do everything in English, but I hope that I will do something in German for the next Gulag Programmieren Act. Okay, let's see. Anyway, welcome. First of all, I want to ask some questions to you. How many of you know what Fourier transform? Lift your hand. What's the Fourier transform? You know, okay. How many of you know what a wavelet is? Okay. How many of you know how to calculate the coefficients of the Debussy wavelets? Nobody. Okay, very well. Because I never found anybody who does. And this is the Bible of wavelets. And this guy doesn't know. Apparently just that Mrs. Debussy knows how to calculate that in her wavelets. But okay. Very well. So let's get started. Okay, this is a very quick overview. Basically, what the hell are wavelets, how they are implemented, and this is just some pictures, so nothing really important. So what is a wavelet? That is a wavelet. It's the Debussy 4 wavelet. Actually, it's two functions, the scaling function and the actual wavelet function. Yeah, they look strange. But yeah. So, and this is how they are defined. Basically, all wavelet functions, by definition, have compact support. That means that except for an interval in which they are allowed to be non-zero, outside the interval they must be zero. This is important. So they are well defined in, if we can say, in the time. I mean, they have some value in a given moment of time, and then they are zero. So the scaling function is the solution of this equation, and the wavelet is the solution of this equation, where those two are coefficients. This is a group of coefficients. Okay, there can be n different coefficients for the scaling and another set of coefficients for the wavelet function. The coefficients themselves basically define the wavelet and the scaling function. I will not explain too much unless somebody is really interested in this. You can ask anytime. On what exactly all this means, but basically this is like a filter. Yes?
Is the phi function on the right hand side?
Sorry?
The phi, is the phi on the right hand side?
Yes. Yes, this is correct.
Yeah, this one.
This is correct. Is that one?
Yeah.
Yes, this is the way it is defined. So, this is the phi is defined as the solution of this equation, and the psi is defined as the solution of this equation with the scaling function inside.
Okay, and the scaling function is self-referential.
Yes. Yes. And for some wavelets, we can know the closed form for calculating the actual shape of the function, and for other wavelets like these ones, for example, Debussy, we only know the coefficients used for the filter. So basically, we only know this h zero and the various h zeros and h one coefficients. How do we use these wavelets? The point is that there's this thing called wavelet transform, which is really like the Fourier transform. What's the point of a Fourier transform? Basically, with the Fourier transform, we are projecting the function on a series on a various exponential, basically sine and cosine, right? So we are performing a change of basis from the time domain to the frequency domain. That was the Fourier transform does. So basically we are doing that with sine and cosine, and which have a very definite frequency value. Of course, it's the value, it's their frequency, but they don't have any, they don't give you any indication of where those frequencies are happening in your input signal, because they're the same infinite from left to right, basically. So instead of doing that, you just calculate the correlation between your input signal and the wavelet and the scaling functions. So what's basically, you might ask, what's the advantage of doing it with the wavelets? The point is that with a Fourier transform, you don't get any indication of where frequencies are happening in your input signal. What can be done is to do a windowed Fourier transform. So you do a Fourier transform on subsequent windows of the signal, so you get some idea of where things are happening, because you know that that particular frequency, for example, is going on in that window and not in the next one, but still you don't get the best you can get. The wavelets allow us to reach this limit more closely. We cannot break it because it's impossible, but we can get closer to that than what we can do with the standard Fourier transform. Yeah, any questions so far? Okay. So basically, projecting the function onto the wavelets is exactly the same as applying a couple of filters, a high pass and a low pass filter. And the coefficients of the filter are exactly this H0 and H1 that were expressed in the formula before. Here. Those are exactly the coefficients of the filters. And the interesting thing is that after you filter this input signal, you can downsample it. You can discard half of the samples, so in the end we get the same number of samples we had in the input. So basically we have as an output the same number of elements we had in input. So this is a transform, because we are just changing the basis, okay, and not just filtering, because otherwise any filter would be good, but no. So basically one thing that defines a wavelet is basically if it is possible to have a couple of high pass and low pass filters. If you filter the signal with the high pass and low pass and then discard half of the samples, basically if it is possible to perfectly reconstruct the original signal, then that's a wavelet. So, oh, typo, yeah. Well, so how do we reconstruct the original signal? Basically, it's crazy. It's so simple. But the things behind it are apparently so complicated. Basically, you just take the signal upsampling and filtering again with the same coefficients, and then add. In case of orthogonal wavelets, those filters are actually the same, otherwise they are not the same, but they can be calculated from the actual coefficients. Okay, so it's not black magic. Well, looks like, but it's not. And for orthogonal wavelets, like the Debussy wavelets, they're actually the same values. Why I say orthogonal, it's because the orthogonal wave, more typos, yeah. Well, the orthogonal wavelets are actually a basis of the space that we are trying to represent. So it's the minimal set of functions that can represent the whole thing. I say this because it is possible to have non-orthogonal wavelets. That is, wavelets that are not, functions that are not linearly independent, but still allowing perfect reconstruction. That's interesting. So, okay, one common thing that can be done in implementation, for example, and that's something, for example, that I did for when I implemented something with wavelets, is to filter with the low pass and the high pass, and then take the high pass or the low pass in this case, and filter again, and again, doing several steps. This is quite useful in sound processing, for example. This is kind of obvious in this case. More typos. Well, because usually signals, you know, are some parts are interesting and some parts are not really interesting. Anyway, so since basically we are just filtering. And we're and even in this case, we are filtering a finite number of times. It is easy to see that the fast wavelet transform is actually linear complexity, which is better than the Fourier transform, which is n log n, as we know. So let's see, for example, the change of base matrix for the for a simple wavelet. So I'm using, I forgot to put a picture here. I'm using this wavelet, also called hard wavelet. Basically, this is the scaling function, this is the wavelet function. Okay? So this is a scaling function, this is the wavelet function. Combining the two matrices and subsampling immediately, we still have a square matrix. And so, combining again the in the 4x4 cases, the low pass with the high pass and some subsampling immediately, we obtain this. And if we combine the previous 2x2 with this 4x4, we obtain this. And what we obtain? We obtain this big thing here, this, which is the wavelet function again, stretched, and this, not stretched but translated. And if we repeat, we obtain exactly the same thing. We have the big scaling function here, the big wavelet function, the wavelet function stretched and translated, and the wavelet function not stretched but translated. And this is basically this is really cool. So yes.
What do the number represent in the matrix?
This is
are they the coefficients?
Yeah, coefficient for a change basis. To transform an input vector from the time domain basically to this mixed time space wavelet domain. So these are just coefficients, and in particular these are exactly the coefficients of the filter. Oh, this is exactly a filter basically. This is nothing more than a filter. The interesting thing is that in the big picture you get this thing here, and if you put a vector here, then and you do the calculations, you get the wavelet transform of that particular input vector. You can just repeat with the bigger vector, and you get the thing for the whole signal. Okay. So, any questions so far? By the way, because I tend to run too much. Actually, I'm sorry for this, but yeah.
Is
the easiest function.
Okay.
Because it's just one minus one.
Okay.
And it's also the first wavelet that was discovered before they got the name, actually. Yes, it's actually what does it mean, this thing here? Basically, this is the mean average and this is the difference. So if you take a signal and you take the average of every two values and then you take the difference, and then you can throw away half of your output samples and still be able to perfectly reconstruct. And this is also the first of the double sheet wavelets. It's the double sheet 2 wavelet. So more questions? I'm sorry for running this much, but okay. Yeah? Yes.
If you apply this to a vector, you obtain a vector, which is the representation in the wavelet space of the input vector. Just like if you
transform a vector with a matrix for the Fourier transform, you obtain the Fourier transform of the vector.
Yeah.
And here you obtain the wavelet transform of your input vector. So the implementation is actually incredibly stupid, because you need to do a convolution, which you can find in math libraries, or you can implement from scratch. I mean, this is my implementation from a project I did in the university some years ago. It's just that. This is the fast wavelet transform, and this is the reverse transform, which is more complicated just because this is not just a simple transform, but this is a dyadic transform like this one. So it costs it's recursive. That's why it's complicated. Actually, it could be just this part here for the simple transform. It's just a convolution, basically. That's the point of the transform. So this is the very basic stuff about this wavelets, this crazy wavelet stuff. Any questions so far before I start?
What did these two formulas come up? Who came up with
it? Honestly, I don't know. I could look it up, but perhaps the Mrs. Or Doctor, I presume, double she, who invented all the crazy orthogonal wavelets. Nobody really knows how to calculate the coefficients. Yes?
I don't know if you will get to that, but could you talk a bit more about the application of the wavelet? Because you said filter and you said reconstruction, but filter is something different than reconstruction. So what do you use it for?
Oh, sorry. Okay. So filtering, what did you? Okay, filtering basically is just the one way to implement the wavelet transform. Filtering and then discarding the half of the values, and reconstructing because you want to reconstruct the original signal from the transformed values. So basically, reconstructing means doing the reverse transform.
Yes, but give me an application.
Sound processing, sound compression.
Sound processing.
Sound compression or video compression. You can use wavelets the same way you can use the Fourier transform. There are several codecs which use the wavelet transform. For example, the JPEG 2000 standard uses wavelets for compression. And you can see that the picture compressed with the wavelet transform is not as blocky, and there are less artifacts on the border, or you know, all that stuff that's typical of the Fourier transform. Yes?
Do I think right that every wavelet part of an intuition sensor is in fact a matrix?
Well, it's well, this is a way to implement it. Not really efficient to implement the matrix multiplication to perform a filtering, but this was just to show that it's just a change of matrix, change of basis. Okay, that we are changing the basis, but it's the same data that we are handling. Actually, a wavelet is a couple of functions. This is a wavelet, okay. The point is that sometimes you know the function, sometimes you only know the coefficient of the filters, which are these two here, which you also put here or here to do the convolution, basically. And the way I got this picture was to simply to take the an impulse and to transform it several times using the coefficient. There's no way to actually find the formula of this function. But for other functions, you have the formula, okay. If you don't have the definition of the function, you can still have the coefficients with which you can implement the filters, and that's exactly what happens with the double chi wavelets, for example. Only because basically the only, apparently the only way to find the coefficients is to Google them or to ask her directly. I tried, even on the Bible here, it doesn't really explain how to calculate the coefficients. It says something about that, but then it's not clear. There are some missing steps. There's a whole chapter, a whole section dedicated to how to calculate the coefficients of the Debussy wavelets, and it's incomplete. There's some missing step in the middle. So, okay. Sorry?
Is that the book of Ingrid?
No. Because she know. I hope she knows how to calculate her wavelets. Now this is by Stefan Malat. And actually, it's really nice. And if you need some introduction to wavelets, I really suggest you to buy this because it's really nice. Well, buy whatever. Whatever it works. Yes, more questions? Don't be afraid. Okay. So, okay. I've been running too much. But I can show you some of the wavelets, for example. This is the hard wavelet, this is the Debussy 4, this is the Debussy 6 and 8 and 10. If you see, they get smoother when they go up with the number of coefficients. This has 12 coefficients, 14, and this has 16 coefficients. It's a quite big filter.
Do you know the coefficients for, example, using JPEG 2000 standard? Is it a very complex?
I don't know what the JPEG 2000 uses. I didn't do any research on that the size, but if I remember correctly, the JPEG 2000 uses non-orthogonal wavelets. Yeah, and that really looks like black magic because you are projecting the function on some other vectors which are not linearly independent, but then you can reconstruct. And actually that's useful, I think, in lossy compression because you get some redundancy somehow. Also there's no codec, it's a video codec. And it also uses non-orthogonal wavelets.
Okay, for example, if I like to use this in, for example, some audio compression application, okay, there is a typical, make the difference between I have to get the frequencies, I get it. For example, by the easiest R function, I think. Also,
yeah.
But reconstructing
is—it's basically it's not for. I mean, the idea of the wavelets is to decompose in a mixed time-space domain. While with the Fourier transform, you only decompose on the frequency domain. That is, you can get the frequency, but you don't get the time. With the wavelet, you get some better hint of when it happened. Okay.
So I transform it, I know about the frequencies, I can discard frequencies I can't hear.
Yes, so you could do that, for example. But then it depends on what you need to do. For example, the fact that there are no actually used audio codecs that use wavelets should be some kind of hint that perhaps they're not really the best thing out there for doing that. I try to implement a lossless audio codec using wavelets, and it doesn't work. I mean, yes, lossless, yes, but it doesn't compress that much.
The same
compresses.
No, it compresses something, but better, even better than the generic compressors. I mean, with the gzip, for example, or bzip, I get better compression ratios, but nowhere near FLAC. And by nowhere, I mean like 20%, 30% worse. Still 20% better than the generic compressors, but yeah. But that's actually different. I mean, lossless compression is not done with Fourier transform anyway. But yeah.
Lossy compression,
yes. But still nobody's using it. I don't know, maybe we could start. Yeah. Any more questions? No.
What would be a typical application of these wavelets, except generic compression?
Well, could be used. Okay. Or also filtering in some cases could help. If you want to filter something at some point and not always, for example, it's easier that way. Or, well, you could do weird stuff, but yeah.
Okay. With the, it's not a faster type of Fourier transformation.
It's not a Fourier transformation.
And how do you choose the wavelet for this application?
Good luck with that. You you have to basically, yeah, good luck. You have to try and see what's the best thing. There's no way to just know that kind of wavelet is better suited for something compared to something else. The only thing that I saw is that most lossy codecs use non-orthogonal wavelets. So probably if you're trying to do something lossy, probably you should be trying to do something with non-orthogonal wavelets.
I mean, how do you choose between the wavelets? You have different types of wavelets?
Yeah.
And how do you choose which one to use? Is it experimentally? You just try and see what...
Basically, as far as I know, yes. I'm not wavelet expert, actually. I'm not a great expert on wavelets, so... if I say to the best of my knowledge, it's not that much, but yeah, that's it. It's incredibly hard to find somebody who knows anything about wavelets these times. Yeah, okay. Because when I wanted to do something with wavelets in university, I tried and I searched and I could find nobody at the University of Pisa, for example, that knew anything about wavelets. And actually, my professor, when I asked her if I could do a project instead of doing the standard exam, and she was really happy. Oh yeah, wavelets. I know absolutely nothing about wavelets. Do it so that you can explain wavelets to us afterwards. That was what she said, and she teaches computational maths. Okay. So, yeah. Yes?
When do you use Fourier transform, wavelet transform, or any other transformation? Where are the advantages and disadvantages?
Well, the point is that of the Fourier transform is that you get to see the signal in the frequency domain, so you can do things like filtering or compression that is discarding stuff and so on. Sometimes you want to know when something happens. For example, if you have an audio file or even a picture, let's say a picture, it's basically the same thing, you might have sharp edges at some point. And if you are doing a Fourier transform, and which is necessarily windowed, otherwise it's impossible to treat, then
if your window is this one, you weird things happen. No. Whereas with a wavelet transform, you get it represented better because you have the scaling function, for example, let's take car, and then you have this, and then you have so in this case, you would be able to represent this sharp step way better with the wavelets than with a Fourier transform.
But the wavelet really is used for some kind of purpose apart from communication?
Not at all. Okay. That's just an example
to show this thing. But,
as I said, I'm not really that big expert. It's just that I lost some months of my life researching this stuff, and I thought that perhaps it could be useful for other people as well. Because I remembered how hard it was for me to find somebody, so I thought, why not? So this is that's basically the big advantage with wavelets is that this is the
whole point that you have better localization in the time. So if you have window like this, you get a better approximation of course, if you're transforming, you're of course have a perfect representation, but then if you are compressing, you're throwing stuff away, and then in that case, the Fourier transform will do, we screw up greatly, as you know. Yes?
So you're basically pattern matching the frequency domain to determine at which time certain frequency event happens, right?
I guess you can say something like that. But you're not pattern matching frequencies, but this wavelet functions, basically. The Fourier transform is exactly the same thing, but with a sine and cosine. Or cosine, just cosine, because you have real signals and stuff. But so instead of correlating, basically the whole thing is correlating the signal with a sine or a cosine, is the point is correlating with wavelets. Wavelet and the translation of stretched wavelets. And that's the wing, basically. That here is where the wavelet wing. Okay. Any more questions, curiosities, or anything? You can ask anything. I have the Bible to look up stuff. If it's needed or whatever. No? Okay. Well, thank you for coming. And